Today's Bible's reading is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43. It's in the Church Bible, page 979. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvester, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in his branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet: "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the basin furthest, when there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever have ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I'm thanks, Pete, for giving me this opportunity to share the word with you today, this morning. This morning, we are still focusing on church sermon series, The King and His Kingdom, by the book of Matthew. I believe we have been looking at the book of Matthew, Gospel, in the previous Sundays. Before we look at today's passage, I want to ask you one question. Have you thought about if someone asks you about God's kingdom? How does it look like? And what do you say to that person? How do you answer that question? You may think of describe something in heaven, or you may think of what happened in the heaven or in the kingdom, or you may recall some Bible words. And this is also the question to me. I was thinking, well, do I really know God's kingdom? What do I know about it? And how can I tell people about God's kingdom? And where is his kingdom? And the final question could be, how does he rule his kingdom? If someone asks you about God's kingdom, I don't know, how's your answer? Do you find it easy or difficult. And to me, it could be very difficult. It's not an easy thing to tell people about God's kingdom and make them understand. Of course, we understand God's kingdom very well. But if we speak in words, I think it's a bit difficult to describe. So this morning, we'll look at Matthew chapter 13 about the parables. Jesus using parables to explain God's kingdom. So let me get the pointer. So there are three parables. When you look at the three parables, it all begins. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And the second one, like a mustard seed, which is a man took and planted in his field. And the third parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took, mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So these are the three parables and we are going to look at today. I may ask why Jesus speak in parables. I think Jesus is speaking in parables, and those parables is the subject the people of the days, they're really familiar with. So when the hearer, they hear the parable, they can easily understand. So when you look at the first two parables, Jesus used the farming as the theme. He talked about the sowing seed. There are two types of seed, good seed and the weeds. Good seed go wheat, the weeds which choke the grain, so which is not very good. So first of all, we have to understand the parable before we have to understand what is the seed, what is the wheat and weeds and the mustard seed, actually what is the symbolic of. So we can fully understand the message. To me, actually I have heard this parable many times since I came to church. But somehow I find it's a bit distant to know, to understand what the parable means. Until I had a garden recently and do some gardening at my house. I can somehow can understand a bit farming and gardening. So now I know the wheat is not a good thing when you're having a wheat in your garden, right? So by that time I realized, oh, this is what Jesus reminding us in this parable. So I think you may not necessary to have some experience about farming or gardening, but at least if you have, it will be a fruitful for you to understand this parable and what Jesus actually reminds us. Okay, let me tell you my story. This was my first time did the gardening in my life. 2 years ago, we moved into a house in Northfield, and our colleagues gave us a plant as a welcome gift. This was how our gardening journey started. Our Korean colleague, he loved plants and he loved flowers. So from time to time, he gave us some plants. That means we have to work hard to put them in the garden. So I'll show you my garden. My garden, not very big, just a small garden. So when we move in, we look at this garden. Oh, some of you may know, oh, there's so many grass. And my colleague, Korean colleague, when he came to our house, oh, your garden looks like a forest because the grass is quite high. So when we look at the garden, we don't know. We have no idea about what this gardening means. And we don't know what to do and how to start. So we thought, okay, now we got the plant. So what do? We need to find some space for our garden to put the plant. So we get some grasses. And so we start clearing some grasses and pull out the weeds. So the first thing we have to distinguish which is grass and which is weeds. So that we have prepared the soil for plant. Then we found there's a lot of weeds in our garden and their roots were very deep. So May and me have done so much silly things on our garden. That's very embarrassing. The more weeds we find, the more soil we dig. So then dig it deeper and deeper. Finally, we dig a big hole and a big row. And then, oh, when I saw to my colleague, the Korean friend, oh, are you burying somebody in your back garden? And then, oh no, that's very embarrassing. Because we have no idea what is how to do the gardening. We're just thinking, wow, why so many, so many? So as you see, we have no concept what we are doing. So don't worry, we are not doing this anymore because now I got some idea. So, and then finally, we make it. We love lavenders, and May love the hygiene gear. Your hygiene gear. Then we have planted this all in our gardens. So from the beginning, it didn't look very nice. But after a month, when the weather getting warmer, hot sun, the flowers look beautiful. Just about a month. So when we look at our garden, we have no idea how it happened. In the beginning, there's not much flowers, not really good. But after a month, the flowers come out. And then that realized, we're just watering them from time to time and day after day. And then the flower looks beautiful. And to me, that's amazing. And I realized this is about growing. So when we compare these two pictures, especially I put the date, so 10th of May and 25th of June. And this noticing, this is about growing. Just about a month, the plants grow. So what I can learn from the gardening is about time. Time is involved, and it is a process. So after this gardening experience, I can deeply reflect from the passage today. The parable of the wheat and weeds is not only focused on how to deal with the weeds, but also what Jesus told us, would like to warn us to prepare ourselves to the kingdom of God. So how does it help to understand God's kingdom by this parable? In the beginning, I have asked you, what do you tell other people about God's kingdom? So this is the question. Have you thought about God's kingdom actually is growing? God's kingdom is growing. Like sowing and wait for the harvest. God's kingdom actually is organic. It grows. Also growing, it takes time. So that's why Jesus using farming as a theme to tell his followers. The first, to distinguish the wheat and the weeds, it takes time. For a tiny mustard seed to grow as a tree, it also takes time. And the third parable, for yeast to leavening of a loaf, it takes time. Time is involved for the heaven. So it has a process, it involves time. I remember what Pastor David talked about God's kingdom. And how he described, he said, the kingdom of heaven is not the place we go to when we die, but is rather life lived under the kingly rules of God now. It is not a residence, but an experience. Jesus is speaking about the way in which the rule of heaven, the heaven's king, will be manifest in and through the life of his followers. And actually what it means, the kingdom of God is about us. How to live in and how to manifest Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 17, 20 to 21, it says, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. He says, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is among us. So for this parable, let's look at Matthew chapter 13. If you have church Bible, you can open it or you can read it from the screen. So Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed wheat among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the wheat also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, don't you sow good seed in your field? Where did then the weeds come from? He said, enemy did this. The servant asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? I stop here. So as you see, this parable, there's a man who sowed good seed. From Jesus' explanation, from the 36, he says, the Son of Man. The man who sowed good seed is the Son of Man. When you look at the wheat field, I don't know if this is the wheat field or not. And how do you distinguish this, the wheat or whiz? I don't know. I just get the picture from the, maybe? Yeah, some you may be recognized. So the farmer in this parable plants good seed. When something happened, suddenly the weeds come out. So the servant was so confused and asked the owner, didn't you sow good seed? Why? You sow good seed, but something bad happened in the wheat field. And actually, the servants got an idea how to do with the weeds. What is his solution? Is to remove it, right? When you saw the weeds, you have to remove it. But surprisingly, what Jesus mentioned, asked them to wait until the harvest time. So the disciple was troubled by this parable. They don't understand why Jesus is telling this parable. That's why after the cow leave, they enter in the house and ask Jesus, can you explain that to me, to us? So the wheat actually is not about plant. The wheat is about the people of kingdom. The wheat is about the evil. The wheat is about the evil one. I put a table to do the explanation about the wheat is the people of the kingdom. The wheat is the evil one. So the wheat in the wheat field brings frustration and worry. The servants so worry about what to do. So before we go further, we have to understand how to distinguish the wheat and the wheat. So to distinguish the wheat and tares, maybe it's translation, so you have to wait, because when the wheat sprout grow the head, then you can distinguish this is the wheat and this is the tares. So when they be mature, the wheat bowed and the tares stand still. So this is how to distinguish the two. Which, as a mature, will bow its head, but tares will not. They look alike, and the only way to tell the difference is wait until they mature. Before they mature, you can't recognize which is which. So once the wheat has been found, what do? The owner doesn't allow his servants to pull and to wait. So this, and wait for the harvest time. The harvest time, normally mentioned in the Bible, is about the judgment day. And then until that day, the true will keep it, the false will separate. So I don't know. I have to ask you one question. I don't know what would you do if you find weeds at your garden. Have you seen this? Do you have this in your garden? The dandelion. If you see a dandelion appear in your garden, what would you do? Pick it up. To me, I have to confess, I grown up in a city. I seldom see a dandelion. I only watch this or see this is on TV. So I'm watching people, when they see a dandelion, what do? They blow it. So I do the same thing. When I saw, there's a lovely dandelion. So blow it. And then it looks beautiful, isn't it? So after I had a garden, I changed my habit. Not to blowing a dandelion, because it may go to the others and it's not good to our neighbor's garden. So once May knew the dandelion is wheat, it's not a good thing, and had a very deep wood. We tried to dig it out. So she really hated it in our garden. So what she did? What she do? She just remove it immediately to take it out. But to me, it's still beautiful, isn't it? But the main point is, the dandelion, this is not the right place for them to grow. So if they are in countryside, we can accept it, but not in our garden. So therefore, this is the basic understanding. We don't like weeds. So we want to eliminate them as soon as possible. But Jesus took a different approach to ask us to wait. I don't know if you have a garden, you have this kind of weeds or dandelions. If Jesus asked you to wait, how do you feel? You got frustration, worry. What if it's getting more at your garden? We don't really like it, right? We don't want to keep them. But God asks us to wait. As I said before, the weeds symbolically means the enemy, the bad people. So have that kind of things in our life is not easy and be very annoying. Before I go further, if we look back at the parable again, not every element of the parable is given an interpretation, especially the trend about the servants and also in the verse 25. While everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and saw wheat among the wheat and went away. I was wondering, what's the role of the sleeping? Jesus doesn't condemn it. Is it their fault or is their instead, it's a responsibility for them to watch for the garden or the farm so that the weeds doesn't come out, the enemy doesn't come out. Jesus doesn't mention. It just mentioned everyone was sleeping and enemy came and did this. Obviously, this is not the main focus about who is the responsibility. To me, to my understanding, the weeds exist. It could be unavoidable. It could be unavoidable. It's from the devils. They could make us very impatient or annoying. Talk about my garden as an example. One day, we found some funny thing in our garden. What kind of funny thing? We found all this. Fungus. I don't know how it happened. It just happened a day. And then why? Why? We were thinking, can we eat it? I'm not too sure. Of course, I didn't try. Some people say, no, this could be poison, right? So to me, something just happened, just like the weeds. We don't know how to deal with it. It's out of our control. And this is something we didn't expect. In our life journey, something we, all the time, some of the things we didn't expect. But we didn't prepare to expect this kind of things. We don't like weeds, we don't like fungus in our garden. That's messed up. But in this parable, it didn't focus whose responsibility and how to deal with the weeds. It's something about the discerning what is good and what is bad. So they're so alike. So today, you and I live in the world where a good seed and bad seed coexisted. This world of ours is a great field, especially in the parable, the world is the field. A field just waiting for a good seed. But just as good seed is sown, and also that is bad. When we try to eliminate every weed, we forgot that we have weeds within us. We have weeds within us. Not only do the weeds and the weeds grow together in the same field, they go together in our lives. Normally, when we read the parable, we think about, oh, we are the wheat, we're the good seed. But in some way, also we have some weeds in our lives. We are not 100% wheat or 100% weeds until we grow. Maybe we grow alike, same. But until it mature, we can say who is wheat or who is wheat. So we all know the wheat can make us food, but the wheat will be harmful. So at the end of the parable, tell us the outcome for the wheat and weeds are so different. The wheat go to the barn, the weeds go to fire, be burned. This is about the end of the day. God will know how to separate the false from the real and the wheat from the wheat. So what we learn from here, first, judgment is heaven's job, not ours. As we say, we try to, oh, when we see wheat, we want to move with it. But this is not our job. We are called to be wheat, not to the farmer. The only one to make the justification, the judgment, is God. Sometimes it's very easy to act as a farmer, to judge what is good and what is bad, or judging another. And last week's sermon, Pete also reminded us not to judge, but looking up, not looking down. We have to remind ourselves. And also, in other words, it's also not the task of the church here to say who is in and who is out. This is not our responsibility. So we are called, not called to be farmer, but just be wheat, be the people of the kingdom. Okay, now how do we grow as a wheat, not wheat? I have one thing very clear. We have to be cautious to ask ourselves, do we have that sensitivity to reject the evil, to deal with our own sins? Like you have the weeds in the garden, you have that sensitivity, we have to pull it up. But what if the sins in our lives, or a bad habit, or thoughts, or behavior, do we have the same sensitivity to not to commit sin? In order for us to grow as wheat, we have to be aware, be sensitive, and how to be the people of the kingdom. I will have a suggestion. We have to grow in a wheat field, grow with others in the community of wheat, as we gather together as a church. And I would say joining home groups is a really good decision, if you are able. We can study God's word together with brothers and sisters and hear other people, how they struggle and how did they learn and how does Jesus remind them. Love one another, and encourage one another and living in holiness. How to do this? I don't know, have you seen this notice before? Anyone? What it says, see it, say it, sorted. It's most in the train station. What is this slogan or campaigns do? Yeah, Harrison. And actually, it says, if you see something that doesn't look right, speak to the staff or text. And actually, what this campaign is bring the awareness to the public and lead the public, the thousands of eyes, to watch crime and how to report so that to ensure the community be safety and security. And I think, oh, this is a very good idea, wonderful. And let me, please allow me to make a little bit change here. I would say, see it, spread the truth in love and support it. See it, spread the truth in love, support it. As we are a church, we are family, we have fellowship together. This also biblical way. In Galatians chapter 6, 1, what Paul encouraged us, brother and sister, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. The second, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We have to care one another so that we can fulfill the law of Christ. And the second, Ephesians chapter 4, 14, 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and brought here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect to mature the body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. What Paul encouraged us is to grow, speak in truth, to grow as Christ-like. So in this slogan, it reminds us, if sees some brother and sister maybe weakness, we have to speak in truth to help the people. We have to grow together, be taking care of people in the spiritual way. So in the same way, I do encourage all of you to love one another and to support one another so that we can be strong. We never walk alone. We have to be work together so that we can be stand firm in the Lord until the harvest time. Before we conclude, we just have a quick note to the following two parables. The next parable is about the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which is a man took and planted in his field. For it is the smallest of all seeds, yet that is grow. It is largest of garden plants and become a tree. Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. It is the smallest of all seeds. It's very tiny. And then the result could be a very big tree. There's a big, big tree. So when you look at this picture, the mustard seed is really tiny. It looks so insignificant. But when you plant it, it becomes very big. And similarly, the next parable is also the same thing. He told them, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the dough. The theme, again, of contrasting a tiny quantity of yeast and the size of its effect. Two parables bring the paradox insignificant and hidden from the beginning, but after its triumphantly climbed. To us today, how do we say God's kingdom? It seems insignificant or invisible. But us is the kingdom of heaven. As you see, the early church, the follower of Jesus in the days, the crowds, the disciples must feel the kingdom is very small and so insignificant. If Jesus really is king, they are oppressed by the Roman Empire. So Jesus pointed out that kingdom starts very small, then grow like a mustard seed or leaven. The Jews were expecting the messianic kingdom to burst suddenly and once. But Jesus goes against this belief. He observed the obvious fact that the even largest tree starts small. For our modern life, we are very easy to see the outcome until we see the big picture, the final result. But Jesus said no. And recently, I walked through the station and got the magazine, the National Geographic, and mentioned Jesus and the origin of Christianity. And this is the message. He mentioned in the magazine, how did Christianity develop from a small community of Galilean fishermen to a movement that conquered the Roman Empire and ultimately the west of the world? If you look back at history, just about 12 disciples and how the gospel be spread out. And to us today, how many people sitting at the Harbor Baptist Church? Do you think you have an influence to spread God's word, to expand God's kingdom in a large way, a widely way? And nowadays, 1/3 of the world population, about 2.3 billion, following Jesus Christ. And how can that be? Because of the message of the kingdom of God is open to all, regardless of class, race, or gender. It promised eternal salvation to the poor and the wealthy. Everyone is equal measure. Kingdom of heaven is growing. As we are Jesus' follower, we have to grow as Christ-like. Let me end with what Tom Wright wrote about this parable, Matthew for Everyone. What he mentioned, he said, all these three parables have a common ground, all about waiting. The farmers wait for the harvest time, watching the frustration as the wheat grow alongside with the wheat. Not only the farmer, but also the birds, wait for a tiny mustard seed to grow into a large shrub. The woman baking bread must wait for leaven to spread its way through the dough until the whole loaf is mysteriously leavened. This is what God's kingdom is like. Jesus' followers. Of course, they don't want to wait. If the kingdom was really present, where Jesus was coming to the birth and what he was doing, then they want the whole thing at once. The heart of the parable of the weeds and the wheat is the note of patience. We are in the process. Not just the patience of the servants who have to wait and watch, but also think about the wait, the patience of God himself. God didn't or doesn't enjoy the sight of the cornfield with wheat, all the enemies all over the place, but nor full of declaring harvest time is too soon and destroy the wheat along with the wheat. God's compassion, delaying his judgment so that more people could be saved at the end. We have to read how God's mind. Sometime in life, there's so many things can't be explained and can't be understood, but we have to fix our eyes to how Jesus loves us and have mercy on us. And Jesus mentioned the eschatological judgment because he loves us. He wants us to be wheat, never be the wheat. But we have to be very careful to watch ourselves and watch our community so that we can grow together. Jesus, in the end of the parable, he commands, it is a command, if you have ears, then hear. If you have ears, then hear. Jesus not only speaks to his own disciple, but to us as well. So, to be finished, there are some questions for you to consider, to think about. Let me give you one moment for you to think. Can you see the growth of kingdom? And do you have wheat in your life? What are you noticing in your thought and behavior? And what is the Lord saying you need to do? We'll have a moment of silence and do the reflections and prayer. And then I'll pray to close. Father Lord, we do thank you for your word this morning. And your words is really helpful to us, to remind us. And you so love us. And you so you are the lovely God and you are the faithful God. And you are holy and you want us to be holy as well. Father, we do give thanks for you to speak the parables to us so that we can understand how's your kingdom and how to prepare ourselves to go to your kingdom and how to build us to be Christ-like. Father, we do ask for your mercy. We do have confess ourselves. Occasionally or intensively, we do maybe sin against you. But Father, Lord, help us to be aware and to confess our sin before you. and for you are merciful. And help us to see your glory and your kingdom. And help us to build our community and church and make your name be glorified. May your light of Jesus shine upon us so that we can come close to you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.